back. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Church of God International here in London. And thank you so much for joining us for services today. We are always delighted, always happy when you can join us and for us to worship together. We really appreciate the fact that we are in a new secular year. The year 2020, but it's not only a new secular year, it's also a new secular decade that we are in. This year 2020, a decade from now, will be at 2030. 2030 has been a popular year because on a global basis, 2030 is seen as the year when nations across the world, countries, should have attained what is called the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, which means that they should be in a state that is much better, far better, more closer to being a developed country, by the year 2030. As to whether those goals will be achieved, is something we will wait and see. But there is a very concerted effort being made for the lives, for the quality of life across the globe to be improved. And it is therefore, as a Brother Sean did, prudent to really understand what the Bible requires of us. He spoke about the need to watch because we can't just sit by and not know what is going on around us. In fact, Jesus said it. You read it in Matthew 24, I think, verse 13, where he did say we must watch, because we do not know what is going to happen. And of course, there are so many things that are happening. It is just impossible to go through the list of world events that are causing concern at various levels. You mentioned war, for example. Yesterday, it was discovered that there was an intervention made by the United States, where the head of the military in Iran was assassinated. And this follows an earlier, sort of a warfare where the U.S. intervened on the basis that it claims that there was a big plan ahead for attacking Americans. So they, in their sense, they have preempted that. We saw how this spilled over into Iraq because, evidently much of the work that was being done within the borders of Iraq. And so, Iraq, which has been basically having pretty good relations with the U.S. and which now feels that its sovereignty was violated, has responded very, very tersely about that intervention. In fact, you might have seen how the U.S. embassy in Iraq was certainly bombarded by many protesters, almost setting fire to that institution. And, of course, the various things such as the nuclear arms race, which is on. The United States and Russia, which had a treaty for containing the expansion of nuclear weapons and various artillery of that sort, have now walked away from the treaty. And so they are on a free fall type of nuclear expansion, which does not speak well for the world in which we live. It doesn't take many nuclear weapons to wipe out millions, if not billions, of people from the globe. You have North Korea there promising to test a missile that is brand new, that it, you know, it's going to surprise us, according to what the leader of that country has said. Mm-hmm. And we could go on and speak about the various sort of World War III kinds of you know, threats that are facing our world. We also see that in about May, on the 14th of May, in fact, you know, interestingly, it coincided with the date that the founding of Israel took place, that the Pope, Pope Francis, is going to be having a meeting with world leaders. And we know the influence of that office. We know the extent to which there is a convergence of view around the papacy. And so that office will be pulling together world leaders. No wonder there will be an influential statement made that people may galvanize around. We're saying all of this to show that the world in which we live is one that is moving quicker and quicker towards the end in line with Bible prophecy. If you were to go through the end time prophecies of the Bible, the sequence of them, you will see that pretty much everything that is written there is aligned, or everything that is happening now is aligned with what is written there. And so it is it is imperative that we should pay attention to what is happening in our world. And so today I want to talk about one of the things that is happening in our world that is not really spoken about, but which has far-reaching implications. What do you know about artificial intelligence? It's a term that is used in various circles, but we have not really addressed this as a subject, you know, here in the in our series of presentations. And I thought today I would like to begin, you know, at least initiate a discussion on this particular subject, because it holds quite a bit of the end time developments. It is one of the central, if not the central, tool that will impact your life and mine, and in fact the entire globe. This invention, if you may, of artificial intelligence is an amazing human discovery. It is one that, you know, in many ways serves us well. For example, smartphones that we all have. This is something that is geared, is run by artificial intelligence. Smart TV, smart cars. You notice the word smart. Some time ago, if you went to someone and said your refrigerator is smart, or something, they would say, are you crazy? It's not a person. How do you say it's smart? But nowadays, we're beginning to get an understanding that things can be smart. And that is because of artificial intelligence. These devices are capable of performing or carrying out commands given to them. And of course, it is because the computers are now at a stage where they can learn. Yes, you heard me right. It can learn. You can, just the way you can teach your child or teach someone, you can teach the computer. And the computer can learn and begin to do what it has been taught thereafter. It is very, very frightening. very, very amazing. But this is one of the modern day things. For example, you have the voice to text feature in your phone. One of the first things you do when you come up on that software is you have to speak into it. And the reason for speaking to it is because it is learning your voice. Mm-hmm. It's learning your intonations. Mm-hmm. It is learning the unique things about you and your voice mm-hmm. that in future, when you speak, it can understand. It will now be able to apply your unique way of speaking to whatever it is that, whatever words you call, in order to print out those words when you speak them. This AI, as it is called, artificial intelligence, is also used in customer service. I'm amazed nowadays. Mm-hmm. I call into a company and it says, what is your name, please? Mm-hmm. And I would, hesitate. It says, please say your name. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I go ahead and I would say your name, my name, and then... you hear it, a little thing like that, and then it is able to tell you, things, or it will ask for your card number, or something like that. And then it tells you things about yourself. It has all this kind of feature. It will ask you, what would you like to do? Would you like to speak to an attendant? Would you like to da-da-da? Well, it gives you choices. And you just say, well, okay, let me speak to a technician. Okay, please hold. You are really speaking to a machine that is able to interact with you the way a person can. All of this, if you were able to say to someone some years ago, well, of course, there has been what is called science fiction. So a lot of these things, people probably dreamed that they could have happened, but never in any sensible way anyone would say, well, this can be done. I mean, the fact that you can sit here and speak to someone in Timbuktu, wherever that is, right? And you're sitting very calmly, you're not shouting, but you're speaking to them as though they are there. Not only that, but you can see them. You can talk to them, you can smile at them, you can do all this kind of thing. That is artificial intelligence at work. So artificial intelligence has served us in many ways very, very well. In fact, they have what they call virtual assistants. So I could say, well, speak to my assistant, when you call, because when you call, you get what is called a voicemail, and that's like an assistant who you can leave a message, and I can get my message later. Some time ago, it was only somebody who was maybe a secretary or so that you had that would be able to perform that duty, but no longer so. It can be done by Cortina, or is it Cortana? Is she's called? Did you know Cortana and Siri? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Siri, and by the way, I like her voice. She has a very beautiful voice. Your GPS, you're going around and you're driving, and your GPS is telling you where to turn, what to do, and so on. And, you made a wrong turn, and, I must tell you, I like these persons who are speaking there, because all it says is recalculating. It doesn't argue with you. It doesn't shout at you. It is so helpful, so kind, so good-mannered, well-mannered. And I think that these are things that we've come to learn and we really take them for granted. But that is artificial intelligence at work. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a dark side to artificial intelligence. And that is the troubling thing that faces the world, faces mankind. Robots, by the end of this decade, in fact, by 2029, not even 2030, according to the leaders in technology, will have human intelligence. The intelligence I spoke with you about earlier, with smartphones and so on, it is known as narrow intelligence. It is narrow because it is just applicable to a very narrow group of things. But by the year 2029, machines will have human intelligence. What it means is that it is on par with the human beings. And not only that, but by the year 2045, that's the following decade, so to speak, machines will have what is called super intelligence. That is intelligence that goes beyond human beings. And this recently was said by Google chief of engineering, Ray Kurzweil. He said that what is happening now will change the nature of humanity itself. Now, don't take that statement lightly. Mm-hmm. What it means when it says it will change the nature, that is, what we call humans, they are seeing a point in time when they will call it post-human, meaning humans no longer exist. Now, I don't want you to take this to believe that it is some kind of, just wild things. People are sitting on information. They're sitting on technology that is very clear about these developments. So you have the human intelligence level, and that is known as artificial general intelligence. So you have the first level, which we now are at, which is the narrow intelligence. The narrow intelligence is moving on to AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is to be on a human level. The difference with AGI, however, is that with AGI, although the machine is on par with human intelligence, the ability to manipulate, the ability to process, will be a billion times faster than a human can do it. And not only that, but one person, artificial person, will be able to do the work of hundreds, thousands of persons. So that one machine could manage a whole corporation. One of these large corporations can be the assistant, can be the manager, can be the engineer, can be the person who is the courier, can all of that. This is the extent, and that is only at the level of the AGI, the artificial general, when it's on par with humans. It means that human would relate to these machines as peers, because I'm no better than you. In fact, I need you, because whilst we are at the same level of intelligence, you are able to manipulate, to process the intelligence, the information that you get with your intelligence, billions of times faster than I can. This is realizable and will be realized by 2030. That's 10 years from now. You are likely to be alive to see that, if the Lord tarries, if the return of Jesus Christ does not happen within that period. It is very important that we are in a mindset to know that these things are coming and they are happening, and to understand the impact upon our lives, particularly in relation to our relationship with God. How will it affect my relationship with my Creator? How will it affect the way I think, the things I believe, are very important questions to be considered. But that's not really the problem. There's still something more. It is the next step, which is ASI, Artificial Super Intelligence. That is really the major, unfathomable, ungodly development that will be taking place, which is one decade after 2030. Consider superintelligence as a person. A person who can learn, grow in knowledge, has the ability to assess, evaluate, make decisions. A person who is billions of times more intelligent than humans, all humans put together, is able to think trillions of times faster than humans, and is able to unilaterally execute. But more than that it now no longer depends upon humans for its further development. It has the capacity to self-develop and to grow exponentially, where it is capable of doubling its intelligence and abilities pretty much minutely. Consider doubling of information, doubling of intelligence perpetually, because that's the nature. It becomes almost like something with life, that it can now teach itself, it can now learn, it can now take decisions. And therefore, it is outside of the control of human beings, and it will now be in a sphere where it will be taking decisions for you and determining what you must do next, will determine what is best for you. We'll be powerful. We'll be able to do a lot of great things. For example, diseases are likely to be easily wiped out, because it has all of that knowledge. In other words, you're looking at a God-like creature. A creature that is aspiring to be like God. Does that sound familiar? I want to ascend to the throne. Oh? It sounds familiar, doesn't it? The scriptures speak about that. Man will not be able to influence or control its decisions. It will be able to tell man what to do. And this is not science fiction. In other words, artificial intelligence, the ultimate purpose of artificial intelligence is to gear man to the point where he has no need for God. It is to tell man, you have no need for God. That's where it is happening. Now the question you may ask is, how did we get here? How did all of this happen? Well, throughout human history, man has embraced the view that the universe is a natural phenomenon, that there isn't a creator behind the universe. And so, man has placed his trust in science, in reason, in evidence. And that is the way by which he discovers truth. So man does not believe that truth is supernaturally revealed by the creator of the heavens and the earth. Man believes that truth is something that comes from man's reasoning, man's ability to use science. And if you cannot prove the thing scientifically and provide the evidence from a scientific perspective, there's no respect for what you have to say. You go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, and we look at verses 1 to 4, and there we read, after the flood occurred with Noah and his family being saved from the disastrous flood, it says here in verse 1 of Genesis 11, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Its people moved eastward. They found a place in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' And so they used bricks instead of stone and tar to make mortar. Then they said," verse 4, "'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that," here is the motive, here is the purpose, "'so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" So, the motive of seeking to make a name for yourself stands in stark opposition, stark contradiction to glorifying the name of God. Making a name for yourself is the act of bringing yourself the praise, the glory, the honor, the credit for all of the good things, all of the great things, the wonderful things. So you are a self-made man. That term is not too much of a good term. I understand what individuals mean when they say that. But not to acknowledge your source, the Creator, not even to acknowledge parents. Some people finish with parents. They just exist on their own. They reach to that point. And not only that, to make a name to themselves, but make a name for themselves to the extent that they reach to the heavens. They reach to the dwelling place, so to speak, of God. Or at least, you know, that's kind of the ambition. A sort of sky is the limit type of attitude. Now, this statement did not begin there. Or at least the thought, the concept, did not begin there. You go to Isaiah chapter 14, and you look at verse 13. And you are seeing Lucifer, Satan, who was existed before man was ever created. You see him challenging God, challenging to ascend to God's heavens. Here's what he said. God is speaking to him. And God is telling him what has happened in his heart. "You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" That's the source of what you're seeing in there in Genesis, at the situation there at the Tower of Babel. So it was Satan's nature that was at work in man. And Satan uses man as an agency to accomplish his objective. Why? Because Satan understands God's plan for man. And he wants to thwart that plan. God has a plan where it is man who will judge angels. Satan will be judged by humans when they shall have taken on spiritual, become spiritual beings. And the idea of destroying man and causing man to self-destruct, man is not aware of it. Man believes that he is the one who is great. But he doesn't understand that the source of his thoughts, the source of his ambitions and objectives, came before. And unless you go to the Word of God to understand the foundation of this motivation, you will not be able to save yourself from the danger. So, when that happened in Genesis 11, God saw it, and God saw the destruction that man was headed for. God saw it in a different light. God saw it as Lucifer's work that was being carried out. The same words, I'll ascend to the heavens. And so in verse 5 of Genesis 11, you read there where it says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." I want you to notice those words. Mm-hmm. Because what we are showing you in the technology is that nothing will be impossible for man to accomplish. The technology, those who are working with the technology, have already spoken to say that man will be able to attain eternal life by it. I want you to know this. I want us to realize this. Look at how well it fits into the scriptures. Look at how much God gives us. We have people going about their lives, they don't even know what they're living for. They don't even understand the purpose. They're just going on there, let's enjoy life. Not knowing that they're wasting the greatest treasure that has been given to them. They have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Those words have been spoken by scientists today, that nothing that man wants to accomplish will be impossible for him. So here's what God did. Verse 7. "Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." Because the problem was communication. It was that they were able to plan, to organize, to strategize together. And so the idea of breaking up that communication, you may wonder, how come communication is so strong today? Now we are understanding. Here it is. Because man is going back to that position where the communication is so now back in shape. It's still back in place. And therefore, what man had begun to do is now being eventually accomplished. Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. So that particular venture was stayed, it came to a halt. But the objective, the ambition, remained. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole world. Now, the concept of Babel is one, you know, this was all, by the way, in the country that we know today called Iraq. And it was known as Babylon. We use the word Babylon to describe ungodliness. Babylon, the world is a Babylon, all the earth. We are living in Babylon. We are strangers in Babylon, as much as the Israelites, when they were held captive, they were in Babylon. And so Babylon has its own God. Jesus says Satan is the god of this world. So what we are looking at is the Babylon of this world that we are looking at. Now, God was able to thwart man's project to build a name for himself at that time, because God knew the outcome. As he knows the outcome today with all of what man is doing. You look in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, and you see the word of God speaking about man's capabilities. And what it says there in Proverbs 16 and verse 25, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So man is pursuing a particular direction, a particular objective. But his creator knows where it leads. It leads to death. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse 23, we see there the prophet speaking and saying, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. In other words, man does not know how to lead himself, how to direct himself. Man does not have that. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. These are the things that God knows about man, that man does not know about himself. That man can only learn from the revealed word of God, if man believes that he has a creator. But the problem is, man refuses to accept that he is a created being and not an evolutive being. And if even he were an evolutive being, he has not even accepted the fact that something had to exist to evolve, and there had to be a creator of that thing. But we won't go there. It shows you how foolish. That is why the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And with respect, I will say to all the scientists, maybe not intentionally, but they are fools by biblical standards. They are fools because they deny the existence of God. And on the premise of Scripture, I can say that boldly and forthrightly, that all of the technologists and all of the wizards that they are being manipulated, and they don't know it. And it is only by virtue of the word of God that they can come to some sense or some semblance of knowing. The scriptures say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So God saw that man was about to destroy himself, and he intervened in order to save him from self-destruction. But because man's ambition has not waned, it is still alive and kicking. Now that technology has removed the barriers between languages, and man is again all together in one language, so to speak, man is again in the mode of building his Tower of Babel, so to speak. Artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, is another category of technology. Blockchain technology. We won't go into all of these today. Robotics, nanotechnology, quantum computing, and biotechnology are all being combined. They're all coming together to become one technology. And therefore, scientists say we are in the age of singularity. Singularity because all technologies are converging to achieve man's objective. The age of singularity is the age when it will eventually happen that these technologies are combined to the point that it is able to take off on its own and out of the hands of man. It continues to multiply itself, not linearly. It is multiplying itself in geometric, if you may, terms. It is multiplying itself where if you were to, it's not adding, like you're adding 1 to 30, and you can get 1 plus 1, that's 2, that's 1, that's 3, and 4, and therefore when you do 30 things, you get 30. It's not doing that. It's saying 1 multiplied by 2, and 2 multiplied by 2 is 4, 4 for 16, 16 times 2, you tell me what it is, and so on, right? And you continue to multiply. By the time you get to 30, you are in the billions. You're over a billion. That is the exponential kind of growth. So it is one beyond our ability, is one beyond our knowledge, is one beyond our control. It is one that man will have created his own God. And you know the foolish thing of this, the foolishness of this. Let me say to the scientists for a moment. I'm not speaking from any of your textbooks. If you really have come to the view where you see that the way you can go about building these things requires intelligence, because it is man's intelligence that is bringing that into effect, why can't you see that it was the intelligence of a being that brought you in the first place into existence? Why can't you simply do that with all of the mathematical skills that you have? To know that, you have seen that intelligent. This is why we speak about the universe in terms of intelligent design. The universe is intelligently designed. Therefore, it demands an intelligent creator. Not evolution. So you have now come to the view, because what you are learning out of your own exercises is that through intelligence, you are able to bring these things into existence. Why don't you believe that you came into being through intelligence? Well, that's something for a discussion that one can have. But what we are seeing here is the bringing into being of a God-like creature that will have authority over man. And where this is going is that some of the experts in the field are becoming now a bit reserved about the dangers of the technology, because whilst on one hand, one set of experts are saying, look, yes, it is true that this thing could either make us better or put us out of existence. There are others who are saying, no, the fact that you have no control over it, then it now has its own agenda, its own abilities, its own priorities. For example, this machine, if it gets into trouble, this intelligence, if it gets into trouble, is not likely to think about destroying itself first. It's likely to destroy the other beings with which it is interacting. Or you may say to the machine, look, we want to stop hunger. And the machine decides that the way to stop hunger is to kill all human beings. So there will be no hunger. There will be no hunger. You may think that the machine may discreetly say, I want to stop hunger, so I'm going to provide food. But the machine may say, I'm going to wipe out hunger. And by killing everyone, there's no more hunger. Now, we must not go away with the view that this is all science fiction and so on. Because remember, let us be honest. What was science fiction yesterday is reality today. Much of it. So we can't take the view of science fiction, because we've seen how science fiction. Take, for example, the whole idea of 3D printing. 3D printing is not something that we could ever... The only place you used to see that is in Star Trek. It's not something we could have thought of. 3D printing. Now, you want to order a particular item, and you can actually, the 3D printer, you simply order it, and the 3D printer prints it out as, not as a picture, as an item. I want a microphone. In fact, 3D printers can now produce you biological items. So, you know, you want a piece of skin because too much, a lot of burn. And you print out the quality of the skin. I guess you give some part of the, some sample, whatever, what kind of skin, sort of thing. It's frightening. It's frightening. Mind you, in one sense, it's good. You say, whoa, it's good. We can get rid of, you know, so in that sense, it's good. But you have to look at where it's going, because it's a double-edged sword. It does good things, but it does terrible bad things too. And you have to wonder how we are there. That is why the wealthiest man in the world, by some account, some measurements, they say is Bill Gates. But even if he's not the wealthiest man in the world, he's among the wealthiest men in the world. He has put his resources behind this. One of the greatest scientists, Stephen Hawking, he is behind this. And you have many more. Gordon Moore, he wrote a paper some time ago, and he is the one who, what is called Moore's Law. It's not really a law, but he discovered it, he observed it, that the microconductors, that the capacity for them to be held in, what is it called, you know, one of these things in which microconductors are placed, that every year the ability for it to contain double the amount every 2 years. In other words, the ability of getting the microchip smaller and smaller, but yet having more and more power. He discovered that. And when you extrapolate from that, you see nanotechnology at work, where you can now build units through nanotechnology that can be smaller than a cell in the body, but has the capability of a supercomputer that can go in and it can detect all of your diseases, all of the things, and it is capable of healing you, getting rid of it, so that you're okay. It can go in and find cells. We die because our cells degenerate. And what they are saying is that they will now be able to go in and cells before they degenerate to give them, a boost to take care of the process of degeneration, so that you will be able at some point to select your age. And you say, you know what, I want to be 29. And the machine keeps you at the age of 29 forever. So you have eternal life. All of these things are happening as we speak. And $100 billion were assigned for this in the United States. And, of course, China, by the way, happens to be the leader at the moment in artificial intelligence. And the scientists are saying whoever first reaches a point of superintelligence will be in charge. Because you cannot stop its priority after it has begun. We're in a very complex world. And I do not want us to take it for granted, all of what is happening. So we need to be able to think of what does this mean for us as Christians? What does it mean for the future? The Bible tells us, if you look in Revelation 13, you are seeing power in the end time. But this power is not God's power. It's the beast power. And when you read it, it says, then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. Now this is speaking of really government. Speaking of the Roman Empire, its resurrection, and so on. So he's speaking of authority upon the earth. And it spoke like a dragon, meaning it spoke like Satan. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. It must be doing something that people want to be, to please this other beast. And so people, because they are benefiting, they are now going to worship the first beast. And then it goes on and says, and it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in the full view of men. So notice the power and the ability that will be exercised in the end. We do not know the exact reason, but when we look at what is happening in technology with AI, it could very well be a source for the power that will be exercised here. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor. Notice, it has power of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast. Yes, possibly. Whatever that is. Breath signifies life. But now we are seeing, and we are seeing it in our technology. I'm in no way asserting that these are the interpretation. But the alignment of this power that man will have in the end time and the things that we see happening here does not leave us without some level of consideration as to their relationship. So that the image could speak and cause all who refuse. So it's an image that is speaking. Notice it's an image that is speaking. Notice it is not a person. It's an image, because there is now an ability to make an image speak. Do not ignore the impact of artificial technology that this is capable of, that could be at work in this mix. So that the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, look at the power, forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark. They can't survive. So it is not unrealistic to think that there is a relationship between this emerging superintelligence and the accomplishment of what is written here in the book of Revelation. As to exactly how, we don't know. But God gives us enough to help us not to be in the dark. So how will all of this end? How will all this end? I suggest to you that it will end in the very way, or in a similar way, that the Tower of Babel incident will end. Matthew 24 and verse 22 gives us reason to believe that. Describing the world conditions prior to Christ's second coming, Jesus said, if that time of troubles were not cut short, notice those words, no living thing will survive. Man will have reached a point of self-extinction. And had God not intervened as he intervened at the Tower of Babel to cut it short, it says, But for the sake of God's chosen, it will be cut short because it will consume even the people of God. Let me tell you something. We have a faith we cannot play around with. We have a super understanding. Come from a supernatural God that goes beyond science, beyond reason, beyond the technology, that assures us of who is finally in charge, that it is God. Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings," that is the kings of the earth, who will be reigning and having all these power, "the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people." It won't be left to any technology. It won't be left to any other earthly king. "It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms." Man will not be able to control his technology, but God will break into pieces, and God's kingdom alone shall reign forever. And the people who will be made great, and their names will be made great, are the saints of God. Because it is God who makes you great. We do not build a name for ourselves. We do not make ourselves great. You look in Daniel 7 and verse 27. And it tells you, "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness." Listen to this. You want to have a great name? You want a great name for yourself? Only one person can assign it. And that is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who caused you to be in existence. Listen to this. "Then the sovereignty, the power, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints." That is where you get a great name from. The people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Praise be to God. Brethren, we do not have to worry about where man is going. We do not have to be frightened about man's technology. Why? Because we know it. We understand it. We knew it before he knew it. In fact, he doesn't even know it right now, what is happening to him. Mankind does not understand it. But the saints, the people of God, God has given them the wisdom to understand. May God bless you, that you may eternally be committed to waiting upon his coming kingdom. May we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. Amen.